Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bava Basra Daf Mem Gimel. We are holding right on bottom on Mem Beis Mem Beis. Umi'idin ze loze. So Shmuel told us that two partners, two shutafim, can help each other, can testify on each other's behalf. We have a property belonging to Reuben and Shimon as a partnership. Comes along a fellow and puts a claim against Shimon's part of this property. Reuben could come along and challenge Levi in protection, in defense of Shimon. Asks the Gemara why. Reuben is biased. He's not neutral because he has an interest in maintaining Shimon's portion, because if Shimon loses, then Reuben also loses, because they both share this property equally. Amai, Neugin Bei Dusenheim, they're involved. They have a vested interest in this type of testimony. So how could one partner testify on behalf of the other? Well, Hacha B'mayaskinon says the Gemara, apparently was speaking where there is no agenda. The cause of late, Reuben had already written off his part, had already abandoned his portion of this partnership, and Shimon had assumed full ownership, in which case Reuben no longer has any interest in this asset. The cost of late, because Reuben wrote off to Shimon, he gave him a document which contained the words din udvarim, any sort of interaction, business involvement. I have nothing to do with this. Ainly, I have nothing to do with this field. So he's uninvolved. He has nothing to gain from this testimony, and therefore he's allowed to be involved now. Asks the Gemara, but just writing in this manner isn't really a form of giving. He didn't give him. He just sort of backed off from his part. That's not enough. Siluk is not enough. You can't just back away. You have to actually give it to your partner. In a matana format, right? Just because you wrote it to him this way, how does that affect anything? Tanya, we have a brisa. If one partner tells his friend, "Din udvarim ainly al sadadu," I have nothing to do with this field anymore. Ainly esekpo, and I have no involvement. My hands are backed, are disinvolved. All similar types of expressions indicating that he's backing away from this partnership. It's worthless. You have to actually give it. Hacha b'mayaskinon says the Gemara, you're right. He did. Kishakonu miyadi, he made an actual kinyan. Rashbam says kinyan sudar. They switched he gave him a handkerchief, an item. And he gave him the part of the field in exchange for that item. So it's a proper kinyan, a proper gift. And now he's really uninvolved. He has no vested interest. He has no agenda. He's perfectly neutral and unbiased. Asks the Gemara, but he's not yet perfectly unbiased. He still has an interest in Shimon winning the case. Just because he made a kinyan, who cares? Reuven still has some gain because he can provide it to his Baal Chayv. Meaning, suppose Reuven borrowed money from a bank, and afterwards he did this transaction with his partner, he gave him his part of the field. And now Reuven defaults on the loan. The bank can come collect from this asset that he had given Shimon post-loan, because it's mishubad, it's bound to that loan. It's committed to the repayment of the loan. So he surely does have an interest in maintaining Shimon's ownership, rather than let some random fellow cash in on his claim of ownership, in which case this field will no longer be accessible to Reuven's bank as one of Reuven's assets, because it's been proven otherwise. It's been proven that it belongs to the other person. D'amar Ravin, Bar Shmuel, Mishmei de Shmuel, as we learned, Hamoicher sod l'chaver shlo b'achrayis. Suppose Reuven, just strangers here, no partners, Reuven sold his field to Shimon. Shlo b'achrayis, without the achrayis component. Achrayis typically means it's warranted against any losses. No, I'm not taking any responsibility. Okay, if it's taken from you by my bank, too bad. And now comes along a stranger and claims ownership. He claims that this field belonged to him all along. It was never Reuven's. Can Reuven come and defend Shimon? Can he vouch for Shimon? He cannot. Ain made lo yaleh. You know why? Because Reuben has some form of gain. Exactly this, because by vouching for Shimon and ensuring that Shimon gets the property, he's basically also arranging, in a roundabout way, some gain for himself, because he's providing, he's making it available for his bank. If in fact, this is Reuben, if in fact he defaults on his loan. So he has a negeya be'edus. He's negeya. He's touching the edus, meaning he's involved. So likewise, in our case of partnership, why don't we have the same issue? Hachav Amai Skinner was speaking the Kavod Le'achrayis. Apparently, when Shmuel allows Reuben, one partner, to vouch for Shimon, the other partner was speaking that Reuben had undertaken Achrayis. He had committed himself to guarantee this gift. Look, I'm giving you this thing, and if something happens, I reimburse you. So you can't speculate that he has an agenda, that he's trying to make it available for his bank, because if his bank seizes this property, he's going to have to reimburse Shimon's. What's the game? Well, says the Gemara, Achrayis Deman. Who is the Achrayis directed at? Meaning, there are two possible developments here. Either Reuven's own personal, you know, bank can come along and seize the property. That's called Achrayis the Asyule Machmase, his own personal issues. And then we have Achrayis the Almo. Suppose a random person, let's call him Levi, Yehuda, will come along and claim ownership. Well, this thing was always mine. This was stolen by me, from whatever, right? So that's called Achrayis the Almo, an external claim. So now when Reuven promised Achrayis to Shimon, I'm going to defend you, I'm going to back you, I'm going to reimburse you for any losses. Losses based on what? Internal claims or external claims? Achrayis deman. Inem Achrayis de Alma. External claims. Well, then certainly Reuven is not is biased. Certainly Reuven has an agenda. He has a reason why. He's trying to defend Shimon. Koshke de Nichele. Of course he wants Shimon to maintain ownership, because otherwise Reuven has to pay him back. Apparently he didn't vouch for external, you know, attackers. He vouched for internal attackers, that if his own personal Baal Chayiv, his own personal bank, will come and collect, then he's backing up, you know, this gift. He's going to reimburse Shimon for any losses. So yeah, so now there's no reason not to trust him, because either way he'll have to incur this loss. What's the concern? That maybe he's backing up Shimon because he's trying to save himself an extra expense. Well, either way, you're going to have to pay that money, either to the bank, or if the bank seizes the property, you're going to have to reimburse Shimon. So he has no negius, he has no agenda, he has no gain, he has no possible benefit, and therefore he's neman in his avis. Asks the Gemara. Now, this is all based on the fact that he was mesalik himself, right? He sort of disengaged from this property. He gave it away. V'chim mesalik nafshi m'nemin mesalik. Does this really work? Disconnecting, does that make you uninvolved? V'atani, we have a b'raisa, b'nei ir. Shenignav sefer Torah shelehem. We have a sefer Torah stolen from a city. So all these residents cannot be involved in litigating this case. Right? If they nail down the suspect and they're going to take it to court, the local residents who were affected by this theft cannot be involved in judging and testifying, because they're all involved parties. Okay, they need to be at arm's length. They're not. Ein danin b'dayonei ois ha'ir. You can't use judges from that city. Ve'ein mevi'in ra'ya me'anshi ois ha'ir. Nor can you bring edim and testimony from local people. Ve'im isa. Now, if this siluk process works, this disengagement system is effective, li'sal ku betrei minayu v'le'dainu. Simple solution. Why bother going to another town? Have two individuals from this town disengaged from this sefer Torah, no longer deem themselves owners, right? Give it away, and now they're partial judges. Shani sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is very different to Lishmiya Koy. It's meant to be heard. You read from it in the shul. You can't disengage. Everybody has to have Kriyas HaTorah, so it's not a feasible solution. Tashmai comes another kasha. Ha'imar tenu mana libnei iri. A fellow promised $100 to benefit, you know, this town over here, fix their potholes, etc. And we run into some sort of litigation with this fellow. He, you know, he has a change of heart or some sort of question that has to be litigated regarding his donation. Once again, you cannot use local individuals who have an interest in this money. And the question is why? Let them disengage, right? Says the Gemara, "Hachenami b'Sefer Torah." Here as well, we're speaking about a Sefer Torah that he was donating for. He was going to contribute to a new Sefer Torah, and inevitably, they all have to benefit from that. You can't disengage. Interestingly, if you look in the Rashbam, the question of Lisaku betray Minayi, the Rashbam learns is like this: either they should not have any Anna, or they should lay out a matching amount. This fellow promised $100, so let two people get up and say, you know, we're matching the amount, we're giving $100, so we have no gain from this person's donation, now we're totally neutral. The Gemara answers, well, it's a Sefer Torah. You can't disengage. True, you have to make use of the Sefer Torah, everybody does, but what's wrong with that solution? Once they've paid, right, the same amount, right, they matched this donation, they are no longer benefiting. So the Maram explains in the Rashbam that you can't do that because, look, this fellow's donation contributed to the making of the Sefer Torah. So you can't have a Sefer Torah without him. Now, the question of whether they'll actually benefit from it, meaning if they lay out a similar amount of money, so just sort of replacing his donation, but that can only work by physical phenomena. You know, he fixed a couple of potholes, so they'll pay for it. But by Sefer Torah, they're listening to Parsha Zohar. It's a spiritual experience. You can't pay. It's priceless. They can't, you know, take a paper piece of paper, a paper money, and buy off a spiritual purchase, a spiritual experience, which is eternal, right? They can't do that. So it's not practical for them to reimburse for this guy's contribution because they're benefiting spiritually. That's how he learns the Gemara's Torah. So it's not practical to disengage. Inevitably, they will have Hano. Toshmai comes another Raya, similar Raya. Okay, this fellow pledged a money for the local, to the local poor people. Okay, and then we ran into some sort of confusion. We have to go to court. Ein donin, once again, b'dayone oisoir, ve'ein mivin Raya, me'anshi oisoir. You can't use local individuals as part of the litigation process. First of all, says the Gemara, hold it. V'tizbara. How does this, what's the problem? Aniyim shakli. Here, the pledge was to benefit the local aniyim. So why are you incriminating, why are you getting everybody involved? I mean, only the aniyim are meant to gain, not the dayanim and the edim. Aniyim shakli. Just because the aniyim get some sort of gain from this person, or potentially have gain, dayanim, mifsili, only the judges in town become disqualified. How does that affect them? Ela ema, rather we have to revise. Ein donin b'dayone ani ha'isoyer. You cannot involve the poor dayanim of that town because potentially they can benefit from this donation. And likewise, when it comes to testifying, ve'ein mivin raya me'ani ha'isoyer. Okay, now back to our question. What about disengaging? V'amai, what's the problem? Istalkut betrei mi'nafshayu v'lidaynu. Pick a couple of people who will now disengage, who will refuse to accept his donation, will not have any benefit or gain from this whole issue, and let them be involved in the din Torah. Here is always speaking about a Sefer Torah. He pledged to support a Sefer Torah. So why did the Brisa relate to it as a donation to the Aniyim? Because it's just an expression that Koil Eisel Sefer Torah Aniyim Heim, because all with respect to the need, to their need for a Sefer Torah are Aniyim. They're poor, meaning we all need a Sefer Torah, we're dependent upon it, and it's just an expression, but that's what he meant to do. Contribute to the Sefer Torah, which you can't disengage from. Viba is Ema. Another possible explanation to this Brisa, Lo'ilim k'diktoni. Aniyim Amish, let's go with the literal words of the Brisa, he donated to the Aniyim. The question was, how does that affect all the other people? Uba Niyei deromu alai. We're speaking about people, poor people who are dependent upon the other residents for their support. So when a person comes and donates to the tzedakah fund, every single resident in town has potential gain because he's sort of lightening their load, lessening their commitment to the enemy. Vechidami. Now, what exactly is going on in this town? How do they execute their tzedakah collection system? How do they support the aniyim? What type of system do they employ? If they have a set amount, you know, per week that everybody gives. Okay, so let two people get up, give their weekly donation, so this way they're unaffected by this person's contribution, and proceed with the din Torah, unbiased. My skin was speaking, that like kitzlu, it's not a set amount. They provide for the poor people as per need. Now, if there's money in the tzedakah fund because of this fellow's generosity, they're all gaining. So it takes away their neutrality. But same on another possibility. Loyalim the kitzlu. Yeah, certainly there's a set amount per week, but still, they all have some gain. V'nichlu, they're pleased with this person's donation and want it to actually, you know, happen. The kibun the rabach rabah, because if there's more money, the more money there is, then yeah, then there's less need. Meaning, even though they all promise to give X amount per week, but look, if there's money in tzedakah fund, a big balance there, there's no reason for everyone to give. So ultimately, they're all gaining from this fellow's donation. So in summation, we learned about Rav Sheshes is halacha, that a shutuf can be made for the other shutuf. The Gemara comes out, it only works if he gave away his chelek, so he's unconnected to the property. And with respect to achrayus, we said he was not mekabel achrayus, and therefore he doesn't really have an interest in this, in the outcome. He's just, you know, l'shem shamayim, and a partial, neutral, unbiased individual. We discussed other brises as well and explained it accordingly. Furthermore, says Rav Sheshes, v'nasin shomrei yisachar zeh lazeh. So again, back to the partners. Reuven and Shimon own a fleet of cars. So Reuven is looking after five cars today, Shimon after five cars. Rav Sheshes seems to say that Reuven and Shimon are both responsible if something happens, if it gets lost or stolen, like a shomer sachar, as though he's getting paid for his work, because ultimately they're helping each other out, and they have gain and benefit from what they're doing. Because when I watch this, you watch the other part, right? And therefore they're wholly responsible. Amai, why? Shmir bebalimi. True, Reuven is looking after these cars, but at that very moment, Shimon is looking after Reuven's cars as well. That's called Shmira Bebalim. We have this back in Bava Metzia, Perek HaShoel. If you undertake achrayish for something, if you're watching something, but at that same time, the owner of that item is serving you in some capacity, the item doesn't totally become yours, so to speak, under your watch, under your care, full under your full responsibility. No, you're not responsible because the owner is around. The owner is serving you in some capacity. Your potter, it's called Shmira Bebalim here as well. True, Reuven is looking after these five cars, but at that very same moment, what's happening on the other side of town, Shimon is looking after their cars as well. That's called Shmir Bebalim. Shmir Bebalim. Amar Papa, oh, not speaking that he's watching five cars and he's guarding five. He's watching the whole fleet today. They alternated. I take one day, you take one the other day. The Amar Shmir Liayayim, Reuven told Shimon, look, you watch everything today. Vani Eshmal Chalamach, I'll watch for you tomorrow. So at that very moment, the other partner is uninvolved, and therefore he's a regular Shomer Sachar. Tana Rabbanan, here comes a new brisa with two parts. We'll start today and Be'ezras Hashem continue tomorrow. Tana Rabbanan, Machar Lo Bayis, Machar Lo Sadeh, Ein Meid Lo Aleh. Okay, a seemingly simple case. Reuven sold Shimon a piece of property, a house, a field. And somebody comes along and challenges Shimon's ownership, claiming that it was really his. Reuven can now come vouch for Shimon. It cannot. Ein Meid Lo Aleh cannot back up Shimon. Why? V'pnei Shachar. You say, oh, because there's Achrayas here, which is going to go back to Reuven. Meaning, Reuven vouched for this property, and therefore he's more than interested in having Shimon keep the property, lest he be required to compensate Shimon. So he has a vested interest, he has a negius, he's biased, he's not neutral. Ein Meid Lo Aleh. But if it's just an item, it's not a real estate related item, a cow, a garment. In this case, if there's trouble, Reuven can come back up Shimon, because the achrayus factor here does not exist. And the more someone will ask, what's the difference between real estate and other items? If he's assuming responsibility for this sale, so he's an involved, interested party. He can't really testify on his behalf. If there is no achrayus, so on both, real estate or non-real estate, he should be considered a neutral party. Mashna reish, mashna seif. Amar Rav Sheshes, let me explain to you. It's much more complicated than we thought. There are more steps, more details to the story. Reisha, in the initial case, in the real estate sale, was speaking Beruven Shegaz Hasada Meshimon Umachra Lelevi. What happened was, Reuben stole this field from Shimon, poor victim, Umachra Lelevi, and Reuben turned around and sold it to Levi. So Levi is currently in possession of this real estate. What happens now? Va'asa Yehuda. Comes yet another person, an external individual, uninvolved in this, the Kama'ar, and he's claiming, he's challenging Levi's ownership. What do you mean? This was my parents' property. What are you doing, So now, Shimon, the victim of this robbery, would like to vouch for, believe it or not, he'd like to vouch for Levi, but not directly. More accurately, he'd like to get Yehuda off the case. He'd like to challenge Yehuda. Right? So he'd like to team up with Levi and get Yehuda off the case. Why is he doing this? So that it will enable him to deal with Levi directly, who seems to be a more easygoing fellow. He'd like to do that for his own gain and benefit, because ultimately he wants to feel back. He was a victim of that robbery. And since it's karka, it's real estate, despite all these changing of hands, it doesn't affect the status, the ownership, his ownership. Even Shinu Rishus, change of ownership, change of possession, doesn't matter. Halachically, the karka, Rashbam says, karka einan gzelas, karka cannot be stolen. It's still connected to its owner in a very intimate way. And Shimon can regain this property down the road. He'll go and try to extract it from Levi, but first, he's got to deal with Yehuda to get him off the map. He's allowed to do that. He's not allowed to do that because ultimately it's for his own gain. And that's the point of the price. The loy lazel Shimon las hid Levi. Shimon cannot proceed and testify for Levi against Yehuda. Why? The nichale de hadra. Because ultimately Shimon's plan is to get the property back. Asks the Gemara, but he won't be able to. The kivan the asid the Levi, once he vouches for Levi's ownership, it's too late. The kivan the asid the Levi who, that it's Levi's, hechi matzi mapik lemine, how would he be able to get it back from Levi once he already admitted that it's Levi's? Well, he didn't really say it was Levi's. He used diplomatic doublespeak. The Amar, he said, yadama dai aru de lav de Yehudi, when he came to Levi's rescue, he didn't really say directly it's Levi's. He said, well, I'm testifying that this property that Levi has does not belong to Yehuda. So he challenged Yehuda. He got Yehuda off the case. And the property now reverted back to Levi. And then, after he comes up with his own proof of ownership, he'll go and challenge Levi and get the property back. Asks the Gemara once again, what's the point? What's his objective in allowing Levi to hold on to the property? Why does he have to do all these ubahusa chusa with the same claim, the same right, the kamapit lemi Levi, which he's going to use to eventually retrieve his property from Levi? Lepkam Yehuda, let him do the same with Yehuda. I mean, why does he have to do it in two stages? First get Yehuda off the map, then fight with Levi. The answer is like this. He prefers dealing with Levi. Because he's saying, the second individual is more cooperative, easygoing. Harishim Kashemena, the first fellow is more difficult to deal with. Rashbam says, actually, it should be the other way. The first person, meaning Levi, the first person that he encounters is more cooperative than the second fellow, Yehuda. But the Gemara uses a Lashon, which is found in a Mishnah in Ksuvos. But it's the same idea. Basically, he prefers dealing with this fellow over that fellow, so he's going to first step in and try to get Yehuda off the map. But eventually, his plan is to challenge Levi directly and get his field back. So this renders him an involved, interested party, non-neutral party, and which case he cannot. You cannot accept his testimony. You boy say, huh? So all that, hold it, 1 second. So that's pertaining to real estate, because that could be retrieved, as we explained. Even though there was Yush, perhaps he really gave up on it. There was Shina Rishus. It went from Shimon to Reuben to Levi, right? Doesn't matter. It's still his for retaking. Whereas in the second case of the Brisa, if it's a non-real estate item, a talus, a para, once it got that far, it went from this person to the other, and it was Yush, Shina Rishus, he loses rights to reclaim the item. So at this point, he has no interest. He has no possible gain from this whole process. And therefore, he can be involved in the litigation process in defending Levi from Yehuda. Another way to explain why he would prefer Levi maintaining possession over Yehuda, because we're speaking, Shimon, the victim, has two edim to vouch for his ownership, and likewise, and Yehuda, the newcomer on the scene, also has two edim to back up his claim. So they're contradicting each other, right? There's a hakchash. What happens then? They sort of cancel each other out, and the chachamim allow the current possessor, the current occupier, to stay there, right? Just status quo. V'amar Rabban, Rabban would say in this type of case, ara hecha dekaimo tekem. The ara, the property, wherever it is, leave it alone. So he's trying to change that status quo, lest he end up losing that property to Yehuda. So therefore, first thing he does is challenges Yehuda's edim, his Yehuda's claim, his raya, his proof, his witnesses, right? He has some way to, you know, to challenge him, to disqualify his edus. And by doing so, the property now is going to be back in Shimon's hands. Okay, Yehuda is off the map, off the scene. And now, a day later, Shimon brings along his edim, who vouched for his ownership against Levi, who doesn't have edim at all. So now it's two against zero. It's two nothing. So now the property goes back to Shimon. So this is all a plan that he has concocted to retrieve this property, knowing the circumstances, knowing the factors and the elements involved. And that explains why he was vouching for this direction, why he was trying to get Shimon back, Levi back on the property, because ultimately he plans on retrieving it. Okay, let's stop over here at this point. The Gemara will pick up with another kasha and then provide another totally different pshat to the Braisa, Bez Hashem and tomorrow's daf. Let's just recap this short piece. We have a Braisa. Part A involves a real estate sale where fellow is going to get involved in the process. We can't let him get involved because he has some interest here. Whereas if it's a parav, a talis, he can get involved. The point of Sheshes was speaking that there was a ganav involved. Reuven stole the property from Shimon, sold it to Levi, and now Yehuda is trying to assume ownership. Shimon, the victim, would like to vouch for Levi against Yehuda because of whatever interest he has in returning the property to Levi, and this is all so that he can eventually retrieve it. We can't do that because he's an Egeya Be'edus, but this doesn't apply to part of a talis where once it's gone that far, he lost it, he can't retrieve it, in which case he is totally objective in this Edus, and he can provide backing for Levi in this case. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rav.